third installment of the Walk On Live show. This is the new show that we're doing this season, potentially in the off season as well. This happens Tuesdays at around 3:45 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon after the fact. Here is the full live show from Tuesday. If you missed it, sit back, relax, enjoy. Let's have a day. Best intro in the game. Let's fucking go, boys and girls. Welcome in to the live show, the Walk On Live, episode 3, edition 3, installment number 3, Trace. Let's have an afternoon, my friends. 33 of you already in here from Twitter, Facebook, and the YouTube. It's great to have you all in here. I really appreciate you guys joining me. We're going to talk about several things. That is the best intro in the game, by the way. John Burnett, we're glad to have you here. Finally made the call-in show. We're glad to have everybody here. It's an exciting time. I'm really excited and happy, and it's fun to add this element to the walk-ons content offerings, right? We're going to have a little back and forth. This is run by you guys. And some are listening post-talk at home as a podcast version. You guys aren't able to participate. You're listening to me after the fact. But just know that this usually happens on Tuesdays, 4 p.m. or around there, 3:45. Drake, if you are a Patreon member and listened to yesterday's Dickhead Tuesday, he was having himself a hell of an afternoon and completely ruined that schedule. So we had time for one, either DHT or the live call-in show. We went with DHT, which was a 50-minute debacle in itself. Live show gets pushed to today, Wednesday. Normally, it will be Tuesday, but who knows? It's sort of off the cuff. It could be either day. I understand. 3:45. Kluve, that's really early. I'm still at work. How am I supposed to make that show? And to that, I answer, I don't know. It's my goddamn show, and this is my schedule. This is what works for me. In true walk-on fashion or Dickhead Tuesday fashion, that's how it's going to work. So welcome in. As you can see on the side, these are all YouTube comments. I don't know if I would imagine I get the Facebook comments too if anybody's commenting on Facebook. I don't think you can comment on Twitter. That will show up, but you can comment on the tweet. I'm in fact going to retweet that the live show is happening and we're off and rolling. A lot of talk about LeVar Woods, over under of total punts. We're going to get to this. Hayden's been a real participator in the live shows. LeVar Woods, Chad Lysico, Des Moines Register, had a stirring tweet today about how LeVar should be considered one of the head candidates, the head potential hirees at Arizona State, who just fired Herm Edwards. That was a dumpster fire over there. You would think that Phoenix and Arizona would be a good place for football. It does get hot as hell, but you'd think that they'd be able to recruit people there. I mean, it's just beautiful. I've been there the last two spring breaks. And Chad brought up the fact that it would be, should have been a head coach a long time ago. Swish Fan Club says he should have been a head coach a long time ago, but also please know. And that was a lot of the sentiment on Chad's tweet was, hey, don't add to this narrative that people should be looking for LeVar Woods. People should be coming to Iowa City to pull LeVar Woods from the Hawkeye staff and make them their guy. But I ask you the question. Does that seem like a good idea to go from You know, he's been a position coach. He's now the special teams coordinator, right? Which is essentially, it's a little bit, it's not OC or DC. I'll put it that way, right? He's got punt return, kick return. There is scheme to that. But in as far as a playbook goes or managing players, that's different than an offensive or defensive coordinator position in the sense of preparing you for the next step up, right? And this is Tyler Kluber's thoughts. I'm just a fucking guy. I don't know anything. But in my opinion, he would need to... It would be really hard to make the jump from special teams coordinator straight to head coach, especially head coach of the Iowa Hawkeyes. When the Iowa job opens up, you tell me in the chat, let me know when the Iowa job opens up, how good of a job is that in the country right now? It'll be the best job opening when it's open, right? I mean, it's doubtful that a school like Ohio State or Notre Dame or Texas or, I mean, maybe, whatever year this happens, Coach Ferentz contracted through 2029 right now. Does he make it there? I don't know. But whenever the Iowa job becomes available, in my opinion, that's the hottest job in the country. There is no bigger job. Jose says top 15, which is a good question, right? Best in the big opening, for sure. Right now, interim head coach Mickey Joseph for the Nebraska Huskers. They're going to be looking for a new coach. He's obviously trying to pad his resume to probably take over that spot. I think they've got some names in waiting to see who they may be able to bring into Nebraska. But when the Iowa job opens up, say every job was available, right? In some mystical world, where does Iowa rank in the country? I'm biased, but I have to agree. I think that's a top 15 job. Is it as good as Bama, right? Or Ohio State? I mean, you're going to lose out probably in an argument of to the Blue Bloods, right? Michigan, Notre Dame, Texas, Alabama. I'm having a hard time coming up with 10 that are better than the Iowa job. Is Penn State a better job than Iowa? I mean, they're a blue blood, but as a coach. So what I'm saying is that's a big job to fill. And to go from special team. Now, obviously, there's a little bit of tug and pull there because if you're within the program already, you know how things are run. People are obviously comfortable with you. If you're in the conversation to take over, it means you're doing something right. So a little bit of that jump is buffered by his familiarity with the program, with the players that he would be taking over, with the staff that he would be taking over. There's so much that goes into a head coaching job. And in my Penn State's a better program. How? They might have more money, but how is Penn State a better program? I mean, that's subjective, right? Let's roll back up to here, though. Who said it? Someone said, Trevor, go to ASU, run a program, learn and grow, come back and take Iowa. It seems like that makes sense to me. Psychoanalyzing Coach Woods here, which isn't something that I think we should probably make a habit of, but in this instance, this is the kind of thing you have to do to try and get in the head of someone who's going to take a position, leave a city that he's been in for 10 plus years, a place where he played, right? There's a lot of things going on for Coach Woods to consider. He has a daughter that just started as a freshman at Texas, I believe. If I remember that right, I'm pretty sure I saw that. He has a son who is either a sophomore or a junior in high school. And then I think he has a third kid that's not in high school yet. Do you uproot your family, which is usually not a question if you're in the coaching world? The answer is yes. You do uproot your family for the jobs because there's just so much money involved. And if you want to experience upward mobility, you don't just get to stay at the same school and get lucky, right? But Who knows? There's a lot of things to figure out head coaching wise. And I'm not saying, you know, with this comment, yeah, but ASU is probably just as good of a job, if I'm being honest. Is ASU just as good of a job of what, James? Are you talking to somebody else? I don't know. I think, this is my opinion, that LeVar Woods, you know, this is me projecting. This is me projecting of what I would think. I would think that if you're one of the coaching, you're on the coaching staff for Iowa, you're in the program as a player, and then you go to the NFL, you come back, and you coach in that program for a decade. My thought is that Iowa is the job for you. Like, you're probably waiting for that, right? Coach Woods, in my opinion, probably waiting for that. But we've already talked about how he's been, you know, I've alluded to the places that I know who have already come after him. Not for necessarily a head coach, but probably some head coaching opportunities as well. Maybe some defensive coordinator, maybe some offensive coordinator positions. You know, they behind the scenes all the time, they're having people ask, like they're sending out feelers. Hey, would you be interested in applying? Not necessarily giving them the job, but would you be interested in applying? You know, like let us take a look at you. And he is going to have to deal with turning down those jobs, as he already has started to, for 6 more years if he's going to wait around in Iowa City. And then the conversation gets brought up, and I've seen this too many times, and I just don't think that many places would do this, especially this far out on a contract, because one, it's just not how Iowa thinks. I think it's getting a little ahead of yourself. Well, is it possible that Iowa has told Coach Woods that it's his job whenever Coach Ferentz steps down? We got a super chat here. I don't know what a super chat. I know a super chat is money, and Mike Brown super chatted for $5. So I guess we made $5. Appreciate the $5. That's absurd if we're going to start making money on the live stream. But if you're going to, your comment will go up if you're going to donate money. So I'm betting you work shoulders and traps today. Keep on shrugging, brother. I'm blessed with the trap muscles. It's genetic. I don't do a lot of shrugs, but I appreciate it, Mike. I did just work out the afternoon training session about 2 hours ago. How much does Brian Ferentz being seemingly the head coach in waiting? See, in my opinion, I don't think Brian is the head coach in waiting. I don't know if I have a good backup for that. But in my opinion, I don't know why I think that. Because at one point I did. And at one point I thought he was the logical next step, right? You know, you hand it over. And I know people hate the nepotism thing. And the word nepotism has become like the buzzword around Iowa football because it's fun to throw it out there, right? When else do you get to say the word nepotism? And if you can use it in a diss against two high-ranking head football, you know, football coaches in Division I on a social media platform where no one's going to challenge you, then you sound like a god, right? Oh, yes, I'm so tired of the nepotism. It's unbelievable, the nepotism around Iowa football. Jesus Christ, give me a break. In my opinion, I don't think Brian is that. Ask yourself this, because Brian, I guess you guys don't know Brian like I do, but I'm going to tell you right now, he's an amazing guy. He's an incredible human being, just like his dad. Kirk, amazing human. Brian, amazing human. Brian knows the amount of shit that he's got. And actually, before I say this, I think Brian would be a better head coach than he would be an offensive coordinator. He was a damn good offensive line coach. So it's not just like he's just a bad coach at everything he does, right? Clearly, offensive coordinator, maybe not his thing. O-line, he could coach the hell out of them. And I think, was he tight ends for a year or 2 years? I mean, he can coach the hell out of a position group, right? Is his offensive philosophy working well? Not the best. Is some of that head coach Kirk Ferentz's overarching philosophy that runs that a little bit. But I think Brian would be a hell of a head coach. And no one's going to be able to see that or want that at Iowa, unfortunately, because of what he's done at the offensive coordinator position and the nepotism problem in most people's eyes. But I think there's a chance that Brian Ferentz goes somewhere else, right? Maybe goes and gets a MAC job. A lot of people are saying that he goes to the NFL and gets an assistant coaching position there. Possible, right? He might be an NFL guy. I think there's a chance that he goes and takes over a program and makes them a damn good program as a head coach with somebody else running the offense and defense. And then, you know, 15 years from now, we're going to be like, how do we let Brian go? And everyone will be like, oh yeah, he was bad at offensive coordinator. So then we let that cloud our judgment as far as hiring him as the next head coach because we didn't want to fall victim to nepotism. And now he's, you know, running the best MAC program in the country and they're winning the conference every year. There's a chance that that happens. I don't know. It's a good question. You guys are murdering the comments right now. Appreciate you guys so much for being this. What's my pre-workout? I don't take pre-workout, baby. Water and salt. That's not a joke either. I drink salt water. Same shirt as DHT. If you know it around here, I keep a shirt that literally sits on the bike right there and I throw it on. I change it out about weekly, but I wear the shirt less than a day's worth of time when I'm actually wearing it. I don't know. You guys tell me, would Brian want to be the head coach at this point after all the shit that he's taken? I would want to go somewhere else. I understand you play, it's like LeVar, you played in the program, but with all of the shit that he's taken, would you want to stick around? I mean, probably for that payout that you're getting. I mean, when that money's offered to you, you're like, yeah, I'll take it. Phil Parker. Here's my opinion on Phil. If Phil was going to be a head coach, he would have went and done it. Phil's just as old as KF. How old is? Let's share the screen here. Let's do some fun stuff. We do a little share screen. We go side by side, and then we type in Phil Parker, not agency. Phil Parker age. So Phil is 59. KF is like 65, 66 or something like that. He's only a few years back from KF. I could very well see Coach Phil Parker retiring when KF retires. Phil, I'd be super curious to know how many opportunities or people have come to Phil Parker over the last two decades, and call it the last decade since he's taken over and had such success, and been like, hey, do you want to come run our program? I bet it's a lot. I bet it's a ton. Here's another question. Would there be a chance that Brian gets a head coaching job in the MAC and comes back after years? Yeah, there's definitely, right? There's nobody capping his career path, right? There is a chance that Iowa hires a head coach for the next 5 or 10 years. I mean, we gotta think about this, right? We've been unbelievably lucky. And I think that the previous stability in Coach Fry and Coach Ferentz, they've spanned, you know, someone in the chat that's older than me can probably let me know how many years Coach Fry coached. I think it was 22 or 23. And now Coach Ferentz is at that same 23. 46 years, 45 plus years of two head coaches. What are the odds? I mean, legitimately, in the comments, let me know. What are the odds that we get another guy that sticks around for over 20 years, three times in a row? Even with the previous stability, in today's world, what are the actual odds that we find someone to stick around for 20 years? First of all, they have to be good. Like, the trajectory and where they take the program, it has to be good enough, right, for people to want them to stick around. I mean, it's almost impossible to see that. So very much so, in most of our lifetimes, are we going to be able to see somebody coach and then probably another coach? Even 10 years at Iowa would be a long time. That's considered a pretty long time at a school nowadays. So could Brian go somewhere, be a head coach in the MAC for 10 years, come back, take over the Hawks, maybe let some people cool down on the OC? This is a good question. Will Barta still be around after that next 20 years? I don't know. I mean, I doubt it. I mean, how about AD, right? The AD before him was there for like, I mean, it's not just with our coaching. The AD's been around forever too. If Iowa blunders at the head coach when KF retires, Brian Ferentz's name instantly becomes pretty sexy. I would agree. I would have to agree with that one. Here's my issue. We're gonna get off the LeVar Woods topic here in a second, but I'm gonna finish with this. I would hate to see Coach Woods, who I think will be an incredible head coach someday at a Division I level, at a Division I power, maybe, right? A top 25 program. There's so much, it's so easy to speculate and say, I think he will be great. But let's be realistic. We're basing that off of Torrey Taylor being really good at punting and what he's done to get a couple punt blocks and run a couple fakes over the last 5 years. I don't want to downplay Coach Woods because I know he's a great coach, but most people don't actually know or have seen him coach. They just see the results, and those results are a couple blocked. Like it's sort of nuts to say that Coach Woods is going to be an incredible. Most people are just repeating what they hear from people who know, because to say that Coach Woods is going to be an incredible head coach because he's gotten a couple blocked kicks and run a couple good fakes, which I was a part of one. That's nuts. That's absurd. I would hate to see him be thrust into a head coaching for the Hawks, right? Now we're like, okay, we're going to run with this. It's going to be great. And then there's a lot of logistics to figure out as a head coach that don't necessarily correlate or relate to all the on-field stuff. You're now in charge of a staff. You're now in charge of scheduling. You're now in charge of all these extra media availabilities. The off-season, you're going to all of these iClub events and appearances, all the stuff that KF does. I honestly don't know how KF has time in his schedule. He is an incredible... The reason he's been around so long is because he handles all of that shit so well. So unbelievably well. I would hate to see Coach Woods struggle, not even struggle, but just take a second to figure that out, because it's going to be that way anywhere, and then waste 1, 2, or 3 years and have lackluster results as a head coach in Iowa City. And then 3 years in, we're like, Coach Woods isn't as good as we thought he was going to be. You know, I'd rather him go figure that out at Bowling Green, and then 6 years from now, when Coach Ferentz's contract is up, after he's had 2 or 3 years to figure out head coaching and then 3 years to build the program into a good, you know, wherever he goes, a good program, then come back and be like, okay, I know how to be a head coach now. Day one, I can take over the job. I know what I'm doing. Let's work on the nitty gritty recruiting, philosophy, staff, all the really important stuff. I tell you what, I would not want to be a head football coach. There's too much shit to worry about. Too much shit to worry about. I hate to just keep putting up Chris's comments, but he's got a lot of good comments. Can't tell me Stoops doesn't want the job if he's still around. Stoops as in Bob Stoops or Mark Stoops? Bob Stoops? Because I would take both. Would you guys rather have Bob Stoops or Mark Stoops? It was said last year in the lead up to that Kentucky bowl game that I believe it was from Mark's mouth that he is not interested in taking another job unless it was Iowa. Mark Stoops ain't leaving Kentucky. I don't know, James. He said that the only job he would be interested in was Iowa. He says, let me call and tell you why. All right, that's enough talking. I'll shut up. A lot of interesting conversation about... I'll leave you guys with this. I don't think there's any chance that Barta or KF has gone to Coach LeVar Woods and said, hey, you're the next guy in waiting. There's no chance. Absolutely zero chance. They're not looking that far ahead. Here's the live call-in number. Hopefully it's working. And James, if you call in, I'd love to talk to you about why Mark Stoops is not going to leave Kentucky, because I think there's a chance he might. Iowa is a appealing job. Very appealing job. Here we go. And hold on a second. All right, who am I talking to?
Hello?
What's up, baby?
Yo, this is James, otherwise known as Clown Ass. You know the deal.
Yeah, I got you.
Well, okay, first of all, I didn't hear the whole he might leave Kentucky for Iowa thing, so I guess maybe I'm just an idiot.
No, I mean, you're not an idiot. I mean, you kind of are sometimes in the Discord chat, but we love you all the same. Mark Stoops. I'm going to see if I can find the quote. I believe it came out around last year when we were
in the bowl game prep.
Yeah, when we were prepping for that bowl game. I saw something that said he would not be interested in any job. I think there was one other place, but he said, I would not be interested in any other job unless it was this or my alma mater, Iowa. That's what he said.
Oh, all right. So I have two thoughts. First on Mark Stoops. He's 55 as well.
Yeah.
And he has SEC money, SEC recruiting base, SEC everything.
Yeah.
At 55 years old, making a hell of a salary at a school that has moderate expectations to low expectations for football.
True.
And he has consistently been a top 25 team for, I don't know, the last 4 or 5 years maybe.
Yep.
And he's got a number 7, I think, ranked team right now. So I just think he would be kind of... I don't want to say dumb, but I don't see how that jump would make sense to have all that going for him, in my opinion.
I'll tell you why in a second. Is Kentucky really ranked 7th? Holy shit, they're 8th.
They're 8th. Okay. Yeah,
wow.
They're top 10. And here's the thing about him, dude. I think he would be great at Iowa for multiple reasons. He's a freaking dog, man. He loves being that underdog mentality.
Mm-hmm.
He loves being in the SEC, being known as a football school or a basketball school. And yet, you know, who they beat last week? Was it, they just beat a really good SEC team last week and everybody was, you know, oh, super surprised about him. It's like, nah, that's just kind of what Mark Stoops does, baby.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's just got like that dog mentality.
Yeah, I think he fits right
what
in.
What I think, though, is here's what I would expect. If it's not going to be an inside hire like LeVar or BF, I think the mentality that would fit best at Iowa is not like a sexy name, like not like Luke Fickell or Aranda, or I'm trying to think of the other guys that could be potentially leaving their schools. I would think that would make most sense for Iowa is to find like a younger coach that has a shitload of potential. And I don't know who it is. I don't have any names, but like, think of like a very good FCS head coach or a very good MAC coach or G5, kind of like what Iowa State did with Campbell, except for better.
Yeah.
I think that would be the best fit for Iowa. If they were to go outside of the program, is to not look at all the sexy names and to narrow it down on a guy that has a younger guy that has a lot of potential with better resources and opportunities.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you. I mean, you make really good points. I think that on paper, it doesn't make sense to come to Iowa, right? The SEC money. I think the expectations thing with Kentucky, yes, it's nice to not have expectations like Alabama to win a national championship every year or Clemson or Ohio State, but I think you underestimate the amount of expectations that these guys want. Like, I think Mark Stoops is a guy who wants that. Those guys are up to the challenge. You understand, like, that's kind of... They're competitors, right? Like they want.
And that's kind of what I'm saying with his dog mentality,
right?
About is everybody looks at Kentucky as a shitty football team. And I think he loves I get what you're saying. I totally do. And that's not a thought that I haven't looked at that point of view.
I think
I'm just saying that I think he
would find himself trust me, if Mark Stoops, and that's what he runs on, and I love this comment by Hayden, he's got that dog in him. 100% dog.
Right, that's what I'm trying to get at.
I think that he would take that Iowa job, and I think he would have them feeling like because I've been in the room. Coach Ferentz found a way to make us feel like the dog in every game. That's Iowa.
Sure.
I think Iowa, although the expectation is there to win 8 games plus, in the last 5 years, 8 or 9 plus games a year. I honestly think that a guy like Stoops or anybody with his background who is in that Iowa tree or has some connection really respects the Iowa position so much. I think Coach Ferentz has built that head coaching throne of the Iowa Hawkeyes to such a high degree that coaches respect it, even if they don't have the SEC money, even if they don't have the blue blood. I think it's, and that's we at the beginning of the show, that's why I said I think it's a top 15 job in the country. I really do. You're right, though. There's a lot of things that can keep him there.
Yeah, I'll get off here real quick. I just want to say that I'm not saying Stoops would be a bad hire at all. Exact opposite. I think he would do incredible at Iowa. I'm just saying that he's 55, and with the position he's in, I just don't know if it makes the most sense for all parties involved. But anyways, I'll get off here. That's all I wanted to say.
Appreciate you, bro.
Later.
All right. Great call, as always, by James. We'll put this back up just in case anybody's interested. It's a good point. He makes a good point. I think that when that job becomes available, I think Brian, it's tough to say, but in my mind, Brian will be a name that's in the pool. I don't know if he'll be high up on the list. I think LeVar will be a name wherever he is that's in the pool. I'm not sure how high he'll be up there. And I think Mark Stoops. I'm not smart enough to know the other connections or who else would be available. I do think that getting a young, again, like James said, I don't know a name right now. They might not even be coaching yet, but somebody who's up and coming at a MAC school, at an FCS school, bring them in, young energy. The problem with that is Iowa, the tradition of Iowa football, the 2 decades of coaching for Coach Fry and Coach Ferentz, I think they want to hold on to some of that. And to do that, I think that they want someone who understands that and feels that connection, feels that tradition. And I think they're going to want to pull from somebody who's had a connection, was assistant coach at some point, maybe played there like Mark. They're going to want to pull somebody from that pool of people. I just don't know. I don't know. There's going to be plenty of names. My choice would be LeVar. In my ideal world, my choice would be that LeVar goes, but this is the issue, is he needs to leave now and go get a head coaching job so that he can build whatever program he's at up for 2 to 3 to 4 years and then come back when Coach Ferentz decides to hang it up. I don't know. You guys tell me in the comments. Do you guys think Coach Ferentz is going to make it to 2029? That's when his contract is through, right? That seems like a long time to me. Seems like a long time. Got a comment here from Dan. As much as I'd like to see some fresh faces in the Iowa program, the thought of ending up like Nebraska scares the shit out of me. Want to talk about nepotism? You know, we want to throw that nepotism word around there. They hired the golden boy. And let's be honest, I don't think anybody saw that as a bad hire when it happened. It just didn't work out. Coach Frost, no. James just says no. Freedom Liberty. Whose buyout is $48 million? He says his buyout is $48 million. Whose buyout is $48 million? Mark Stoops? If it's buyouts $48 million, that's going to be a problem. James says, who the hell fires Pelini and hires Riley? Well, dude, I mean, Pelini was rubbing people the wrong way, and they just wanted somebody that was the opposite. Kirk's buyout is $48 million. Jesus Christ, KF. My guy, Captain KF, is really captain, though. God, he's just rolling in cash. My goodness. You guys ever think about that money? That amount of money? How fucking stupid that much money is? I mean, I still like go out to eat, and if I spend like more than $20 on a meal, it's like, ooh, that hurts a little bit, you know? Oh, I still feel like I'm in college. Fucking $48 million? My goodness. Allison says, I think KF will end on a 0 or a 5 year, for example, 30 years. Was that? His first year was 99. So that makes this season 23. So he would have to, he'd have to play out his whole contract here to end on 30. Or in this case, he would be done after the 2024 season. Maybe, Allison. I don't know about that. So unless a bunch of fake Me Too stuff comes up against KF, why would he leave? Because it's a good question, and it's simply because of what I said earlier. Being a head coach at a Division I football program is hard. It's time consuming. And I know that KF has given his life to this, right? You know, God willing, KF has another 30 years on this earth, right? Maybe more. So he's still got life to live. At some point, you want to go live it. Now, it's hard for football guys like KF to walk away. But at some point, it's a lot. Waking up every day, having all of that to worry about and have under, it just is a lot. And I know it's a great, prestigious spot to hold, but at some point, you're just like, I'm ready. It's like anybody else with their jobs. They're like, I'm fucking ready to retire. This is just too much. You know? Chris says, with that money, Kevin could live in a summer home with AC. I wish he was here. We're about to record the tomorrow's episode, the preview. For anybody that doesn't get that joke, Kevin and I went a whole summer in Iowa City, a hot summer. 90s every day. It was the summer of 2015. And it was hot as hell, and we didn't have air conditioning in the house. It was bad. We were so stupid. Totally fine with him staying as long as he wants, but the offense must improve. Here's, and this is an interesting issue as well. And I don't, you guys might not feel the tug on your heart as much as this one does. I agree. The offense has to get better. You cannot just can keep being an 80th best offense or worse. And that's our ceiling. That's as good as Brian has been. I think like 82nd is as good as he's been offensively. We can, for 5 years in a row, we've been a bottom third offense in the country. If KF is going to be the coach till 2029, we can't fucking do that, boys and girls. There's no reason. And maybe there's no reason for us to have a top 30 offense either. But at this point, just give us like 68th. Put us right in the middle. Recruits are fine. Recruits, I think we've been doing well, both offensive and defensively. And we use them great defensively, but we don't offensively. We got to figure something out on the offensive side of the ball. Interesting comment here by John. Bielema is 52 and a candidate. I mean, he's got the Tiger Hawk on his calf. He's inked up with the black and gold. Would you guys, right now, if Bielema was one of the, how would you guys feel? He's got Illinois looking okay. Maybe not. They might have gotten shellacked this past weekend. I mean, they looked okay in a, one or two of their games this season. No to Brett the Elephant Bielema. He does need to watch the diet a little bit. Guy needs to cut back on the carbs. But no to Bielema. Troy says, bring Frost in as OC. Can you fucking imagine? Can you imagine if this offseason we made the announcement that I don't know where this is no shot or like what I would want to happen to George Barnett, but imagine Barnett goes somewhere else and they send Brian back to offensive line and we brought in Scott Frost as offensive coordinator. What if we just started dominating? I don't think they'd want Scott Frost in that building. I don't think Scott Frost wants to be around football. I've been told by people close to Nebraska that he would like, that his work ethic was not good over the past couple of years. He would like staff meetings and like conference meetings, he would show up late or not show up at all. Like he, if he could get his shit together as a person, we don't want Frost's comments in his post game press conferences are enough to let me know that he would not fit in with the Iowa way. Oh, Iowa way. I'm racist. Whoa, I'm racist. Iowa way. Do you think KF cares about the Hall of Fame and the career? KF doesn't give a shit. KF is a Hall of Fame human being. They're going to put a statue of him right next to Nile, probably. 600 required to enter. You know, I know he's right there. He's like just beneath it right now or whatever. Maybe a little bit he does, but it's not something that runs his decision-making. And if it was, he would be doing everything he could to win more games, right? So it's not like it would be a bad deal. Interesting take, Justin. You might not be wrong. I don't think you're completely right. Justin says George Barnett is the problem with the offense. I'll tell you this. Our offensive line, they ain't great. I haven't got a chance to watch all of the Big Ten teams, but I'd have to say that right now I'd be pretty confident in putting our offensive line definitely in the bottom half of the Big Ten, maybe in the bottom third, the bottom five teams of the 14. That's not good. We're supposed to be O-line U. I've had all these guys come through, and we're bottom five in the Big Ten. I don't think Reese Morgan has anything to do with this. He was very heavily on the defensive line for the past, you know, since I was in the program. He did have a lot to do with recruiting. So maybe, and Reese only left what, like 3 years ago? We've been declining for more than that. I think Doyle has a bigger effect, and people don't really get that, but they don't understand how much Doyle was involved with the offensive line on a day-to-day basis, just like in their life, building them as athletes, but also on the field at practice. That's who he would spend time with. What is this? If Burt was coach like Flex row the boat, it's hop on wife. I don't know what that means, Chris, but if that's, I think there's some sexual innuendo going on there. Struggled to run the ball with Polisek as well. You're not wrong, Freedom. You know, and with the recruiting and the offensive line, we've missed. You know, Drake and I think we went over it last year, last season, and maybe we need to do it again to kind of illustrate it. We missed on a lot of guys at the wrong time consecutively. We've had a lot of injuries. We've had like two injuries that have ended careers. We had a couple guys transfer. We had a couple guys retire. I fucking hate when people say retire and they're in college. Yeah, and this goes back to what I said earlier. Mark says, honestly, the O-line hasn't been great for several years. BF was a great O-line coach. Let me tell you, was he? It was fun to watch him coach offensive line during practice. So, if you got any thoughts or you want to call in or you got something to say, you can use that number right there. Hopefully the phone goes off. Seriously, you guys are insane. This is amazing that we're able to put together a live show, have a little fun. It's 4:30 in the afternoon. A ton of people are still at work, but we got 73 people in here, 50 minutes strong. I'll probably go for, oh, look at that. Kevin says he's going to be able to do the podcast early tonight. Good for him. Kid, quote from Kevin earlier today in our conversation between me, him, and Drake. I was trying to get Kevin to commit to the Rusty Toolbox game the Friday night before Wisconsin, do a little washed up walk-ons meetup, potentially commentate the game, set up a table at the end of the field in the corner, sell some t-shirts, sell some flags. I got a box of car flags up sitting on my couch. Haven't even told anybody about them. You know, like you're driving down the highway and you've got your two car flags sitting there and they're flapping in the wind. I've got 100 of those sitting on my couch. Sell a few of those. And Kevin's like, sorry, I can't commit to that at this time. And Drake's like, Kevin, you're unbelievable how much you're committed to your work. You just love that bread, don't you? And Kevin's response, all he said was, fucking love bread. Unbelievable. Kid loves money. He's going to retire at like 38 with millions in the investment accounts. Jake says, this is what I meant by recruits. Need to hit on more of them. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense, Jake. We have... It's hard because you look at those guys and they've got all the stars. They look good in high school. And then for some reason, they just didn't hit. Right? Sometimes you get unlucky. And it's not all luck, but it's a coincidence that we've kind of come to this breaking point. Courtney says, Caden Proctor will be here next year, but how does the best recruit in the country do if they aren't developed well? God, that's a good question, Courtney. That's a fucking good question. Shit, that's a good question. I think Caden, in his case specifically, he's good enough that he's already got it, right? He just needs to learn the scheme, learn the plays, get comfortable with the college speed, and he'll be good to go. Right now, Caden Proctor is plug and play. Fuck, I would take Caden after a Friday night Southeast Polk game on Saturday morning. I'd take him right now, but we can't have him because the Rams are using him. I mean, that's how, in my opinion, by the way, I think the best six offensive linemen, and I don't know, I'm still not sure on the lineup, but it's Richmond and Plum at tackles. It's Logan, even though we've had exchange issues at center, it's Logan at center. And then our guards are Ellsbury, and now I'm fucking blanking on the name. I can't remember the other one. Connor Colby is in that top six as well. Who's my other guard that I'm leaving out? I forgot already. That's how not great they've been. Is I can't even name our linemen. It's annoying. Dunk, yes. Jennings Dunker is the other one. Jennings, Dunker, and Ellsbury at guards. Logan Jones at center. Connor Colby and Richmond at tackles. Maybe Plum. Those are our top six. I don't think, in my opinion, Chris, the Young is not it. That's my opinion. I could be wrong. Every time I've watched the Young play, he gets fucking mauled. Same as the Stevens kid. I just haven't been impressed by them. Not that I haven't been impressed by anybody on our line a whole lot, but this is a good question, Kevin. With our offensive problems, do we worry about Caden going or looking elsewhere? For that matter, do we see receivers look to the transfer portal? I mean, I think the second question's already been answered there, Kevin, unfortunately. Tracy and old Charlie Jones. I mean, Charlie's having one of the best statistical years as a receiver in the country right now at Purdue. So those two went and left. I think I don't know. It would never be in my mindset to go and look elsewhere, but I also didn't play a skill position and I kind of stepped into a starting role. So it was just different for me. Nowadays, yeah, the kids probably do. Focus, camera. I don't think Caden's going to look elsewhere. Reason why, he knows Iowa sends good offensive linemen to the NFL. I think it's attractive to be a part of that lineage, going all the way back to Gallery and then Bulaga and Reef, Sheriff, James Daniels, Tristan, you know, down the line. I think he wants to be part of that. You know, it's a lot to, you know, he's already probably going through like school registration here soon and getting set up and dorms. And it's just a lot to then all of a sudden make a different decision and go somewhere else. Let's see here. Chris says the time of committing is irrelevant. 4-star QB joined after Cyhawk didn't deter him. It's about the relationships. It is definitely about the relationships. These kids want to feel wanted and like they're going to be able to step in. And a little bit of the offense struggling so much is offensive recruits feel like, oh shit, I've really got a chance. Like nothing great is happening there right now. Why can't I go in and find playing time right away? So it even might be a catalyst to them making a decision. And that might have been with that Reese Sarr kid. the 4-star QB from Florida. That might have been it. Put the call up here. It says live call and show, so I want to make sure to put this up here just in case somebody wants to do it, but I'll continue to read comments. Does Phil get fed up with having his guys continually having to bail out the offense? I don't think so. I think he enjoys it. Like, in a sick way, I think he enjoys it. He's like, fuck yeah. It's all on us. I think he likes the... I mean, obviously, you'd love for your offense to make it easy on your defense. I don't think the defensive guys would... I don't think the defensive guys would turn that down, right? But I think there's like a, hey, it's on us, kind of like warrior mentality with the defense. Spencer's a nice guy, but a terrible quarterback. Yeah, he's an incredible dude. It'd be hard to call him a terrible quarterback. I understand that's what a statement, right? Here we go. We got another call. And we are talking to who?
Hey, this is Chris.
What's up, Chris? How you doing?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I'm all right. It's been a good day here in Waukee. I can't complain. What do you got to talk about today?
Beautiful. Well, I'm chilling in Bondurant, and a similar question to the last comment about the defense. At what point do you think they put enough on tape for their NFL career to where maybe at the end of the season, if we're barely over 500, that we put in like our backup and maybe some of our studs don't play? Or is that maybe not necessarily something that Phil Parker or I would ever do? That's all I was wondering. Because they're going to make millions of dollars. I just don't want them to always be out there. You know what I mean?
Yep. I totally get it. I totally get it. It's a great question, Chris. Thanks for the call.
Yep. Bye.
I understand what Chris is saying there, right? Like, we've got these guys like Justin Jacobs and Jack Campbell and Riley Moss and probably Merriweather. Seth Benson will get a chance. We've got a lot. Basically, every guy in that defense is going to get a look in the NFL whenever they decide to leave Iowa. So if we were like 500 or we're struggling to win games, first of all, as it would suck to just be bowl eligible or be fighting for a 6-win bowl eligibility at the end of the year, that's what they will be doing. Because not making a bowl is even more embarrassing than making a shitty bowl, if that makes sense, right? Putting in our backups at that point would not help that cause, right? So there's going to be no scenario, especially if you know those, like you listen to Jack Campbell talk about being brothers and teammates and the love of the game, like no shot that he takes himself out of the game or that the coaches would ever take him out of the game to save his. It's a good question. Right. Because you're like, well, maybe it's all about money nowadays. They're getting paid. People are leaving early. They're not playing in bowl games. It's not going to happen at Iowa, not on the Iowa defense. No chance, not a chance, but I appreciate the call, Chris. Courtney says, hold up. Kevin lives in Iowa City. Why can't he make the toolbox game? I know you said that like 10 minutes ago, but if Drake can be here, Kevin can be here. Well, Drake wouldn't probably be here this year unless we like really flew him in last minute, because this is in like less than 2 months. I mean, it's not like that's not enough time to get him here, but I'm still figuring out the logistics of what it's going to look like anyway if it does happen. Kevin, although he does live in Iowa City, has to, I'm not exactly sure on the logistics of him getting work off. He's always on call. Right. So he participates in surgeries. He's a sales rep, trauma wise, but he also, for the devices that he sells that go into like people's hips and knees, he has to go in there to the surgeries and he knows how they're supposed to be used. The surgeons do as well, but he's like the consultant because it's his product and he's in trauma. Right. So trauma happens at random times. So if he's on call on a Friday night, then he can't really commit to something because it's possible that someone gets ran over in downtown Iowa City or some drunk kid falls out of the third story of Hillcrest and busts their leg open, and he has to go in there. It's usually not a kid. It's usually like a grandma who slips on the ice or something. He has to go into a surgery at 7 p.m. on a Friday night because he loves bread. God, we need a shirt with just a loaf of bread on it that for Kevin. It's got like a caricaturized face of Kev, and it just says, "Fucking love bread, Kevin. Loaf of bread." That would sell. I wanted to go up here because I missed a question, and I don't want to. I missed a lot of questions. Let's be honest. Someone asked, like, how long does it take to record the podcast? How long does it take to edit? Recording the podcast takes as long as however you guys listen for. Like, if it's an hour long podcast, usually it takes that long. Recording it spits out a file in like 5 or 10 minutes. And then after that, it takes me about 45 minutes to edit that file, put the music in, make sure that we've got the right placements, everything's lined up, load that into the system, load that into Patreon first without the advertisements. If you guys aren't subscribed to Patreon, you get ad-free listening on Patreon. That's one of the perks. So I load it in first without the ads. Then we put it onto the actual hosting platform where then the ads I have to kind of mess around with. I don't have full control of them, but a little bit. Type up the, do the thumbnail on Canva. It's a process. And I do all that work and it takes like 45 minutes. So front to back, 1 hour episode takes me about 2 hours. So there you go. I did not catch Dolph's comedy. So I went to bed. Let's be honest here. Your boy went to bed. There was a lot of talk in our Discord, also a perk of the Patreon, of like, hey, it looks like the Lightning's coming. I'm west of Iowa City, so I knew what was working its way over to the east side of the state. And I definitely didn't forget about that Iowa State game in 2019. So when they called that thing at just after 9 p.m., I was like, all right, well, I'm going to bed because I don't know when this is going to be over. And I knew that I had to record a podcast at like 7:30 in the morning. I was not staying up. Your boy needs his sleep. You don't get traps like this if you sleep 4 hours a night. They wither away and just die. So we'll take a couple more calls here. Otherwise, then Kevin and I are going to rip the episode for tomorrow. Again, appreciate everybody being here. Really fun to have people tuning in on Twitter, have people commenting on the Facebook, on the YouTube. Up there, you can see the little subscribe icon that I have. You actually can't hit that. But if you're on YouTube right now and you haven't subscribed to the channel, we're like 13 subscribers away from 2,000. Hit that button. Turn on the bell for the notifications so you can see. If you do that, if you hit the little bell icon, even if you don't see me tweet this out, you'll get a little notification that we go live. Right? You know what? TJ, you're right. The Rock would beg to differ. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't sleep. He takes a lot of stuff that I don't have access to. I wish I did. Supposedly Dolph and Pody were hilarious. I mean, they're just like, they are Iowa football. It's going to suck when they're, when they hang it up. Cause they are you hear Dolph's voice. I know a lot of you listen to the Dolph episode that we did right before the season and you hear it and you're like, oh, it's football season. The Rock social media team doesn't sleep is more accurate. That's also true. KF was funny in the press conference today. Steve puts KF saying he hates 7-on-7 days. I think he's meant to say 7-on-7 says a lot, to be honest. He doesn't like 7-on-7. I think it's not for the same reasons you're saying or alluding to, but man, you get him going on a cut block conversation. I think we could talk to KF or somebody could talk to KF about cut blocks for an hour. They could do a whole podcast on cut blocks. It gets him going. He starts to smile. There's inflection in his voice. You can just see that his mind is turning. It's fucking amazing. Yeah, this was about the dumbest thing that's ever happened. The fact that Dolph got canceled for calling somebody a King Kong when it clearly, I mean, that's just as stupid as shit. Almost as stupid as people coming after Doyle. And the world's about to find out about that in a little bit, to drop a little teaser. I encourage you to go look at the summary judgment request on that, because a lot of people are going to learn a lot of things. All right. If you know what, an hour and 10, we'll do it there. I appreciate you guys so much. I've said that a couple times, but seriously, this is so fun to get on here and talk to you guys. We don't get to interact a lot with you guys, especially Drake and I, because we don't live in Iowa City. We're not able to make all the games, but things like the Discord in the Patreon, as part of the Patreon, things like, you know, I try to answer every DM that I get, anything, anytime somebody tags me. We love just interacting with you guys and creating this ecosystem around Iowa football, Iowa sports, really. So, yeah, this is truth. Doyle was the man. And in fact, I just watched the video of him and Pat Anger walking Brett Greenwood out of the tunnel. And it fucking kills me that people came after him and he had to fall on the sword. What an incredible human. Yeah. Yeah. The players in that lawsuit specifically are looking for a handout, but it's the deeper, you guys will hear about it. I'm probably going to be doing an entire, podcast on what came out of that, that whole thing. Doyle was an asshole, no doubt. Right. And I'll tell you that again when I do the podcast, but my goodness, was he a good coach and equitable. Hard on everybody. Again, thanks for being here. We're going to turn it off there. This will be uploaded to the podcast feed. So that if you only caught half of it and didn't go back and watch, just wait for it to upload into the podcast feed. You can listen to the whole thing. We had a lot of good conversation about Coach Woods and who would potentially take over the job for about like 30 or 35 minutes to start this episode. So that was a fun conversation, and that's going to continue to be a hot topic as time goes forward. Who knows how long we can keep around LeVar Woods. And then tune in tomorrow, because the preview of Rutgers is going to be up. And we will have a lot of the Nevada recap as well, because Kevin hasn't got to voice his opinion on that. We'll do a recap of our betting from last week, all the good stuff. Awards winners, and everything. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next week on the live. Until then, catch me in the Discord. Peace.